This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp and Dame Products.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, and we got some gorgeous people on this episode, let me tell you, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Inner Hoe Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous feminist hoe living in New York City, coming off of, guys, it was the worst cold I done ever had in my whole life. I was like, am I going to make it through?
It's a fight.
All my life I had to fight. But we're back in your ears, and my pronouns are she, her, they, and them.
And Akua. I am your friendly demisexual, omnisexual mental health therapist, pronouns she and her.
We love it. Every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. On this episode, we're talking all about the journey of going through gender-affirming hormone therapy, or GHAT. For short, from the perspective of a non-binary trans femme. We'll be talking about romance, emotions, the physical body, second puberty, and what it's like to go through that, and much, much more.
If you would like to follow along with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoeUprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can also join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising Community, that is C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. And you can head over to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe. I shine bright in all my different colors, all my different colors, colors. We shine bright in all our different colors, all our different colors.
All right, so we're going to get into the actual show now. We got a good one for you all in your earbuds and on your eye screens on YouTube. This is Fuck It. It's our topic of the day. And today we're talking all about gender-affirming hormone therapy, or GHAT for short. In just a moment, we'll be speaking with our lovely guest for the day, someone who has recently begun her journey with GHAT. But first, we're going to get into some quick gender-affirming hormone therapy 101.
I have to say, when I read it, it's G-A-H-T, but I'm hearing GOT. Like, that's what my brain is processing.
You got.
It's literally what my brain is processing.
We can do that for the purposes of this episode. Okay. So, full transparency, this is lifted directly from the community goat that is Wikipedia. Because Wikipedia be knowing, it don't be knowing all the things, but the little 101 shit, you could take your ass to Wikipedia, but for the purposes of this podcast, I'm going to take your ass to Wikipedia with my voice. Okay, so transgender hormone therapy, GHAT, there are many names for it, and they also like split between whether you're doing like feminizing gender affirming therapy or masculinizing gender hormone therapy. But transgender hormone therapy, also sometimes called hormone replacement therapy, is a form of hormone therapy in which sex hormones and other hormonal medications are administered to transgender or gender nonconforming or non-binary individuals for the purpose of more closely aligning their secondary sexual characteristics with their gender identity. This form of hormone therapy is given as two types based on whether the goal of treatment is feminization or masculinization, like I mentioned a little bit before. Feminizing hormone therapy for transgender women or trans feminine people or people who are just looking to more feminine consists of estrogens and anti-androgens. Masculinizing hormone therapy for transgender men, trans masculine people, people looking to look more masculine consists of androgens. Some intersex people may also undergo hormone therapy, either starting in childhood to confirm the sex they were assigned at birth or later in order to align their sex with their gender identity. Non-binary people, as I said, may also undergo hormone therapy in order to achieve a desired balance of sex hormones or to pass dress as a certain gender. And now for the main motherfucking event. If you're on YouTube, you see this very attractive individual talking about, oh, should I go on Zoom? I just don't know if it's giving.
Then came and snatched my edges.
Get on my nerves. Oh, yeah. Speaking of snatch, let me read the bio. Speaking of snatch edges. So today on the show, we have Amber Dore. Amber is a 23-year-old multiracial, non-binary trans femme living in Atlanta, Georgia. She enjoys candlelit dinners, long walks on the beach, and discussing the trials, tribulations, and turbulent temptations of life as a transgender person, and in general, too. Amber... What's this is not what on? She sent us. This is not, no, I have a little bit more in your bio. Oh. Amber is also a former Inner Ho Uprising Bay of the Week. Amber, whose Instagram bio says perpetually underdressed, snatched us all bald one day. I think this was last year, but maybe this year. I don't remember.
But snatched us all. No more, but I remember
snatched
when it happened.
I remember being snatched bald because I was like, oh shit, the edges, what the fuck? Let me get some do grow oil. No.
Cat oil in his bitch.
Exactly. Snatched us all bald one day when she took some magnificently underdressed pictures with Inner Ho Uprising.
I ain't never seen our merch look that good. I was like, well, damn.
Oh my God. Thank you guys so much.
Welcome, Amber.
Oh my God. Glad to be here. What's going on?
Yeah. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm off of work today, so that's always a plus.
Yes.
We love not doing labor.
Yes.
We love lack of labor. Yes. We love leisure up in here.
Very okay.
Rest and leisure all day.
Period.
All right. So let's jump right into it. Amber, can you tell us about your journey in starting gender affirming hormone therapy? When did you begin? How did you start the process? How did you access your medications?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for me, I started actually in July of this year. So I've only been on hormones for 2 months. And I went through a service called Plume, and they, it's basically like an online, I don't really know how to describe it. They prescribe you the medication, but you don't have to go into an office. You can do it online. So it's a really great service. It's much cheaper than having insurance, because a lot of insurance is weird about, you know, trans related things. And so, yeah, I just went through Plume. The only bad thing with Plume, though, is that it's not offered in all 50 states. And some states only offer feminizing hormone therapy and not masculinizing hormone therapy. So if anybody wanted to check that out, I would definitely just check. They have a graphic on their site that will tell you exactly what they offer in your state and if they're available in your state. So PSA, you're welcome. Mm?
So is Plume not to give... free advertisement to Plume, but we're glad they did good things.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay.
No, we're glad that you shared your resources for others.
For sure. I'm gonna ask a follow up question about them. Are they like specifically like maybe one of those online pharmacies, or are they specifically for hormone therapy?
As far as I know, it's specifically for hormone. They do also give you letters if you're gonna get gender reassignment or gender confirmation surgery. They will provide you letters if you need those to get through all the red tape, because you already know how that goes. But yeah, they do those kinds of services as well. They do not actually provide the medication, they provide the prescription. So you would still have to go out and purchase the medication.
I see. Wow, that's really dope. And, you know, obviously, like you had just mentioned, the red tape, there's a lot of red tape that trans folks have to go through to access hormones. Was it because of the ease of Plume why you decided to start this July, or like?
Well, it's been a long journey. I don't want to divulge too much too early, but just, yeah, but.
No, we in here feet first. Oh, get into it.
Okay, so
get into it.
So I've known that I am at least non-binary since I was 18. So that was 5 years ago now. So since like, what is that, 2016? So I've known ever since then. However, at the time, I did join the Air Force, and Trump was elected in 2016. And then he did the ban for trans people. So I couldn't really... there was no way for me to go on hormones and like hide it. You know what I mean? So I just had to wait until I reached a point where I was out of the military and then I could do it. And I got out last year, I think 2 years mm-hmm. ago now. And then I just started this year because now I can afford it, basically.
That makes a lot of sense. And what, like, is the, for folks who don't know, what is, like, the cocktail of hormones that you're taking or anything like that?
Okay. So there's many options and they have broadened over time. The WPATH, which is the, it's a transgender health organization that sets the standards of care for transgender individuals who seek hormone therapy. And so there's a lot of different medications. This is a really roundabout answer to your question, but there's a lot of different medications that can be prescribed to you. For me personally, I'm taking estradiol, which is bioidentical synthetic estrogen, and another medication called dutasteride, which is a DHT, which is it's like a degraded form of testosterone that contributes to male pattern baldness. So what that does mm-hmm. is it stops my body from producing or from breaking down the testosterone that's present into DHT. But there's also bicalutamide, which has a lot of, not all doctors will prescribe that though. Just because, I mean, I'm personally not taking bicalutamide because Plume will not prescribe bicalutamide. But some people gotcha. Take it as the anti-androgen, like so the testosterone blocker in your body. There's cyproterone acetate, which is not available in the US, but abroad it's available. And then the most well-known testosterone, widely used testosterone blocker in the US is spironolactone. So, mm-hmm. and there's varying amounts and mixes and degrees of how much you could be prescribed. So it's very individual because for some people they can take, you know, the minimum dose of estrogen with no blocker and still go through and still like get what they want, you know, and then some people need mm-hmm. a much more robust regimen in order to achieve their goals.
I love how folks who start gender affirming hormone therapy low-key become chemists.
Very bad. Oh my God. When I tell you, I was like, where's my degree? Oh,
right. That's really dope. So you started in early July. Mm-hmm. What has it actually been like? So we're going to talk about like the things that have shifted. So like, obviously this is like, first and foremost, like your secondary sex characteristics are changing. So what has shifted physically that you've noticed and things like that so far?
The double tomb raiders. They sure have. Okay. It's been like a love-hate relationship for me though, because like, I can't lay on my stomach anymore. Girl, I picked up a boxer today and almost cried. I was like, oof. It's been, I just had to get used to it. But then like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, yes, bitch, like I'm eating, like period. Okay, but yeah. But that's like other than like, there's been other changes, like, let's say like libido has dropped way low.
I've heard that, yeah.
Which I love. Let's see. I mean, I've only been on
that. We're gonna save for later.
Okay. Sorry, but I didn't know. What we were getting
no, no, no,
into.
No. I like that you brought that up. Oh, we have period. More about that okay, later, period. But continue.
Okay,
and that actually reminds me of something Diamond Styles from Marsha's Plate was talking about on being on HRTs and the differences that she notices in libido. So we gonna get into that.
Yeah. Period.
But. So you're saying that the girls are sitting,
they're trying to, they enter the building. They're not sitting yet. They haven't been seated. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They just walked in. They're walk-ins. So they have, mm-hmm. you know, need time.
Shout out to the girls.
Period.
Okay. All right.
What else have you noticed physically? Is there like a slowing growth and like hair growth or?
Not that I've noticed. I mean, I'm not a particularly hairy person, so mm-hmm. I've just assumed that it would be later on when the hair growth got mm-hmm. affected. But and then also, I know a lot of people say like their skin got softer. I would just like to say that I always moisturize, so I was already soft, period.
Okay, shea butter, baby.
All right.
We got Ari Lennox in the building. Okay.
Yes. I was already moisturizing, so.
Are you? I know a lot of folks will like document the process on like whether it be YouTube or Instagram or anything like that. Are you just like, okay, here's the girl's day one, here's the girl's day 10, here's the girl's day 30,
yes, or anything like that? Yes, I do take body pictures because like I got like advice from, you know, the best place to get advice, reddit.com, because like the pictures help you to like, not really to track your progress, but just in times where you feel like severe dysphoria and things like that, you mm-hmm. can go back, you can look at the pictures and be like, okay, that's where I started. I look nothing like that anymore. So like, you know that your body is changing because you know your mind will play tricks on you. So
yeah.
So you have to like look back and just be like, okay, this was me day 30. I'm on day 90 now and look at how different I am. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. Cool. Okay. Well, up next, we're going to talk about how hormone therapy affects your mood, your emotions, your mental health, your romance life. Mm-hmm. But first, it's only natural that we talk about mental health since we're getting into that in a little bit. So this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there anything or something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Is it perhaps the fact that you are living through a devastating major historical event every month or so? Yeah, I can relate to that. I can relate to that. I can also refer you to my favorite online therapy service that helps me to sort out some of my very apocalyptic anxieties. That service is called BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which might not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide, and you can log into your account at any time and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. Not to mention, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp, along with we here at the Inner Hole Uprising, want you to start living a happier life today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. And while you're at it, you can visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people, that's a lot of people, who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Once again, special offer for Inner Hole Uprising listeners. You can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. That's better, HELP.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. Now back to the show.
So let's get into, we talked about what's happening physically. Let's talk about what's happening mentally in this shift since you started.
Nosy ass therapist up in here.
Okay, because I need to know.
Yes. So like most of the most significant changes have been mental and emotional, I would say at this point. So I noticed, of course, like any time that your hormones are affected, your emotional state is more turbulent, I would say. So for me, that means that I get sad a lot easier, but then like, I don't even know how to explain it. Okay, let me reorganize my thoughts. So I was like I felt like I was kind of emotionally not stunted, but a little numb before I started. And I mean, of course, there's a lot of things that contributed to that, like dysphoria, just, you know, just daily life in general.
Trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then like once I started hormones, like I did my Reddit research once again, just reading a bunch of what people, how they say they felt when they first started. And I'd say that most of what I read, so this is anecdotal evidence, is saying that like you immediately feel a lot just happier in general. So like you're not just running around like laughing and stuff, but like you just feel, I would say that like depression doesn't go as deep as it used to. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like, it's never mm-hmm. like, I'm just going to sit in my room and literally not shower. Because mm-hmm. it has not been that bad since I started. So I'd say definitely, like, the lows are much higher. If that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Also, I cry all the time, you guys. Like,
and if, welcome to the club. If you were no it's our favorite reason. Pastime here at the Inner Hole Uprising.
Yes. It's like, it's literally for no reason. Like, I'll be watching like a YouTube video and just out of note, like, I'm pretty sure it's like some little small sad thing happened, but then I just like am crying and I'm like, what is going on? But I live for it though. I love the drama of it. I feel like I'm a lot more open to speaking to people now, if that makes sense. I still deal with like body dysmorphia, gender dysphoria, all things of that nature. And that affects my social skill, or it more heavily affected my social skills before I started taking the medication. Because I feel like just knowing that I have the medication has made me like more personable, just more like more willing to be outgoing, if that makes sense. Because it's like, I feel like things are lighting up for me. Let me think. I can't really think of, those are like the major changes. It's just like the emotional turbulence, the crying, and then just feeling more satisfied with life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Definitely that.
I love it. I love it. I love all of it, actually, including the, welcome to the cry.
Yes, it's lovely. It's great.
Because then you just dust it off. Yeah, you just dust it off. And then you're like, yo, I'm a human being who's in touch with their motherfucking emotions. Like,
look at me. I'm like a contributing citizen. Like, who would have thought?
Empathy.
Right.
And just for folks who might want this as a resource, what subreddits are you frequenting? Like, where is your community on Reddit?
Okay, so r/ non-binary, r/ transgender, even though, or it might just be /trans. They did have, I don't know what happened, but they were like not letting anybody join for like a little while. Like, I think about a few weeks ago. I think it's back open now, but just check to make sure.
Okay. Good to know. So this is Inner Hoa Uprising podcast. We must talk about the whole shit.
Yes.
So since you started hormone therapy, what has shifted? Let's say, because we know you did mention your libido. So what has shifted like on the romantic front? Mm-hmm. And then what has shifted on the sexual front?
Okay, so we can start with the sexual front first. Okay, so basically my whole body is changing, right? So that means that I kind of have to like refigure out how it works in that way. Because like if you have, if you're endocrine system is more testosterone dominant, sex and sexuality just feels very different to you when it's, you know, more estrogen dominant. So I'd say now, I haven't been with anybody since I started because I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out. But for me, in my, you know, my me time, I don't know. I just wait and see what happens. Like, I really can't, I can't porn is no longer a thing. Like, you can't really, I just don't want to watch like other people having sex. Is that weird? Like, I'd much rather, cause it's more of like an energy thing for me. I don't want to sound like, oh my God, what a, you know, the Zodiac girl. But, it's like, even though I live for all the witchiness, but
yeah, get witchy, get very woo woo.
Period. But for me, it's like it's more than just like an aesthetic appreciation that would make me, you know, prepare and my body is ready, you know. But like,
yeah,
I still have aesthetic appreciation. Like, depending on the like what it's giving, it can still give. I hope that makes sense.
We understand.
Yes. And then as far as like romance, like I said, I haven't been with anybody since I started hormones, but I've talked to people, and I noticed, because before I came out as trans, I was out as gay. So just having to like relearn how to date as well. That's also why mm-hmm. I'm kind of like not being with anyone, because I have to relearn how to date as like a femme person. Because before, I mean, I would say that when I identified as gay, I was still very femme presenting, but it's different when you are transgender. You know what I mean? Because like a cis male gay person would have a different experience than, you know, a transgender, trans femme person, you know? And then also like, if you're a gay man, you're dating other gay men. Whereas if you're a trans femme, trans woman, you're dating straight men. So also learning how to, well, not just straight men, but you know, that's now an open avenue for you. So dealing with, you know, all that that comes with. And a lot of that is just, you know, straight men have very rigid expectations and very rigid definitions for everything. And it's like, anything that doesn't fit in that is just like, I don't know. It just depends. I mean, a lot of it depends on how attractive you are as a trans woman. If you're like, if you meet a certain threshold of like attractiveness and like passability, air quotes, passability, you're afforded more leeway, as opposed to someone who is more androgynous presenting, or someone, you know, someone who's like in the beginning stages. Now, I don't want to like toot my own horn or anything, but luckily for me, my shape, it gives. So like
we've seen.
Yeah. Period. So I don't have to, I know that there's certain hardships as even as a trans woman or trans femme person that I will be more, I'm not saying that I'm immune to, but I'm just more insulated from, because I have, you know, I meet a certain, for some people, I meet a certain like threshold of attractive. I hate that so much that it's like, you're only afforded respect if you're fuckable, basically, you know? So that's like one thing that I've noticed. And that's one thing that I've learned in the time, even in the short time, where it's like, it really is just based on how attractive you are sometimes, like with certain people, mm-hmm. which is kind of hard to come to terms with.
And where are these interactions happening? Is it, are you on the dating apps, kind of like dipping your feet in, like, what is it like playing over here? Or is it in person or?
Mm-hmm. So I talk to people in person too, because I just like walk around the city sometimes, and I also go to school, so I still talk to people in school and like in class, not a whole lot, but I do. And then also just online, I made an OkCupid. It's Ooh. Been, I mean, it's been going. I just, there's so many messages. I just don't, it's super overwhelming. I'm like, girl, I have to go. And I'm not saying, oh, everybody likes you. That's literally just the dating dynamic for straight people, is that men, it's like a numbers game for them. So they're like just casting as many lines as they can and seeing what they can catch, which I hate that terminology, but like that's how they would describe it. You know what I mean? And then like women just receive all the messages. You just scroll through and pick the ones you like. And that's like, I don't know. I think I might end up giving up on online dating. I don't know. I'm gonna give it more time though.
Yeah. Okay. I find that OkCupid and also Plenty of Fish's algorithms are just not, they make it very difficult for like actual meaningful connections to happen, because like you said, the men are just like,
yes,
throwing out every fucking net that they can. Yes. And then as the person who's receiving that, it can just be very overwhelming to like shift through all of that kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. But yeah.
And then there's so much that. Like garbage. Like it's like, because are you guys familiar with the term chaser?
Yes, but please explain it for our listeners.
Okay.
I don't think we've ever talked about that on the show.
Yes. So for people who don't know, there is a term that we have in the transgender community. Part of the term is a slur. I will not say it, but TRNNY slur, chaser. And that is a term that we designate to people who are attracted to transgender people because they are transgender and not because of the person. They're attracted to, you know, genitalia, body parts, things of that nature.
So those who fetishize.
Yes, fetishize. That was the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Trans people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
are you encountering them on dating apps? Is that what it is?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That for sure. And then also I found an amazing, I'm not going to say it's an amazing resource, but it is an interesting resource. And I found a forum where there's a lot of men who identified as trans amorous. And so okay. I definitely was lurking through there. And I found out a lot of them are aware, or more of them than I thought are aware of the term chaser and are actively trying to not be that. I don't know if that's a recent development, but it is like promising for the girls.
Huh? Yeah. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was updated that is this promising. Year. At some, I think it was earlier this year it was updated. So they're still on there, girl, if you can find it. I forgot the name of it, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would one find that? Like what
are the keywords to Google? I Googled trans amorous men or men who date trans women or something like that. And it came up and I was like, oh, wow. An infiltration to the other side. Period.
Not you being a spy.
It's literally that. And saying Kim Possible. She's Kim Possible. She's Evelyn Saul.
That is so funny. And for like one thing I talk about on this show a lot is like red flags on dating websites and things like that. Mm-hmm. What are like chaser red flags that you come across?
Just overly sexual right away. Immediately asking you for naked pictures. Just super pushy. Very like, I don't know, just the conversation only revolves around sex and body parts
and your body.
Yes. And if mm-hmm. and if it strays away from that, they're quick to snap it back to that. So anybody who's like who's present or coming on, like if you feel like they're coming on too strong and it seems like weird, you know, it is weird and they're trying to use you. So I would suggest not engaging with those. I mean, some people don't care. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do as long as it's consensual. But if you're a person who's looking for like a more substantial relationship, particularly with, well, any gender really, but it's especially bad with, men. So they're like the main people who do this kind of thing. It happens with trans men and cis women as well, but not to the same extent. But, I would just, don't do it. Especially if you're like not, if you're new to dating, definitely you don't want that to be an early experience for you. So yeah.
Really, really, really good advice. Mm-hmm. Well, in the spirit of sex, love, and dating, and we are going to talk more about sex, love, and dating, but let's talk about sex, baby, specifically sex toys.
Did you know that people with vulvas are 4 times more likely than those without to say that sex is not at all pleasurable in the past year? We here at Inner Hole Uprising are huge advocates for pleasure and find this pleasure gap to be pretty whack. But you know what we don't find whack? Dame Products. Dame Products is a woman-owned sex toy company making the next generation of vulva-tested, vulva-approved vibrators. Founded by a sex educator and an engineering whiz, Dame develops toys with the help of real humans and couples like y'all, our listeners. They're closing the pleasure gap and helping the world one vulva at a time. Their vibrators and accessories are made with medical-grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love, earning glowing press from the New York Times, W Magazine, and many more. Whether you're a couple looking for an extra boost where it matters or on a journey of self-exploration, we're sure that they'll earn a spot on your nightstand. And the best part, Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days, so your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. But when I say you're not going to need that return policy, let me tell y'all why you won't need that return policy. So Dame has become a part of my re-entry back into partnered sex. And the other day, I'm telling you about a little trice I had real quick. Don't share with nobody else. The other day, I was like, let's start slowly introducing the toys into the things. I like to give my partners a chance just to know me, and then we start adding the toys. My Dame was closest to me, the Eva, I believe, is her name is called. And I don't have it here at this table because it's upstairs. But it's this cute little bulb with like these wings that tuck into your labia and stay in place on the clitoris and the surrounding area to provide that extra stimulation. And when I say you add that with some penetration, honey, honey, the fireworks that were glowing in that room, okay? So I'm gonna let y'all know, I love the Eva. I think Sam enjoys the palm. Is it called the palm?
It is the palm, and it's because I put it in my palm because a nigga is not having partner sex right now. So you go off with your little fucking things, Akua, and I will continue masturbating.
But I say give it a try, either or, and you are not, your satisfaction will be guaranteed.
Okay? And you can use both with solo and partner sex. Just kidding.
Trust me and my dame was getting it together when it was just me in here loving myself. Don't let it fool you now. Don't let it fool you. So if you want to have the fun I'm having, the fun Sam's having, you can go to dameproducts.com/IHU today for 15% off site-wide. Again, you go to dameproducts.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising today for 15% off site-wide. Now let's get back to Amber and her things now that she's going through the thing. I did have a question, Amber, in talking about sexual libido changes. Have you noticed sensitivity around like erogenous zones?
Yes, definitely the chesticles, this thing. It's just like hypersensitive. Like can't even wear a loose t-shirt. Sometimes it's not so bad. It just changes, I guess. But definitely that's been the main thing. Nothing else really, at least not at this point. I'm still pretty early on. But definitely just like the whole chest area, everything is just very sensitive right now. Which is great and also terrible, but great.
Do you ever have to pop an ibuprofen or two? Like, damn, let me just get on with my day.
Yes. Okay. Did you know that for trans feminine people, we get, I'm not going to call it a period, but it's PMS symptoms on a cycle, if that makes sense. So it comes around the same time every month. It takes, I don't know. It's different for different people. So I'm not going to say a timeline, but it's possible to develop a cycle. And I think I experienced cramps like a few weeks ago. I was like, I called my sister immediately. I was like, girl, what's going on? She said, at first you have to like come to the realization that like your appendix didn't just explode. Like you're fine. You're not going to die. But like I've never experienced cramps before. So I was like, 911, yes, hello, send help. So I called my sister and I was explaining what it felt like. She was like, girl, that's a cramp. I was like, at that point, I had only been on hormones for, I think, a month and a half, maybe at that point. And that was the only time I ever experienced it. Because like it doesn't become regular until later on in the process. But that's horrible.
Yeah.
It sure as shit is, Amber.
Oh my god. It was so bad. I felt nauseous all day. I was like, girl, am I pregnant? Do I have a baby?
Yep. Welcome.
Not Mary Magdalene.
You see? What's going on here? Yeah.
So you are pretty early on in this journey for yourself. What is the long-term trajectory of your therapy? What are you hoping to experience? What are you hoping this experience will be like a year from now?
So a year from now, I want my double Tomb Raiders. I want my Selena Kyle waist. I'm just kidding.
Yes, Catwoman.
Period. But for me, I'm pretty comfortable as like identifying as trans femme, non-binary. Now that has it's changed. It's fluctuated where I felt more like no woman. And then it was like, no, non-binary. But I feel comfortable with it. That was over years. But at this point, I feel like I'm pretty stable in my non-binary trans femme identity. So with gender therapy, or not gender therapy, excuse me, hormone therapy, I do wish to achieve all that I can achieve. As far as surgeries, I'm very afraid of surgeries just because I know how Black women in the medical system are treated. And then on top of that, I'm trans. So I really am going to have to do my research when it comes to surgeries and things, because I just don't, I'm very nervous about those kinds of things. But for me, at this point, the only thing that I'm comfortable even considering is maybe like a breast augmentation, maybe. But even that, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I might just be happy with what I have, girl. I don't know. I'm just very afraid of surgery. So I'm not going to, surgery's not set in stone. I might, it depending on what the hormones give, that might be good enough for me, honestly. So, but that's my plan, just to get as far as I can get, keep this like regular, make sure that I, you know, keep in contact with my doctor, everything checks out as far as the blood tests and levels and all that, all the alchemy that is transgenderism. Yeah.
Scientists.
You know, and of course, everyone's transition and results are unique to their makeup, unique to their person. Mm-hmm. But is there anyone's transition or journey that you like look up to or aspire to? It gives you, you know, helps to decrease discouragement if it comes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. T.S. Madison. Are you guys familiar? Oh, literally, yes. I've been watching her since 2013. I've been watching her since I was in 10th grade. Oh my God, she's so amazing. I love T.S. Madison. I love everything about her. She lives here in Atlanta. I want to meet her so bad. Oh my God, I love T.S. Madison so much. And I just love like her whole journey. Like she went from, you know, she was working on the street in Miami, you know what I mean? And now she's got like this whole, she has a TV show. She's doing her internet show from her house. Like she's just such an inspiration to me. I love T.S. Madison so much. Of course, Laverne Cox, because she really blew open the doors for the girls on screen.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. So I really love Laverne Cox. Those are the first two that come to mind. There are, if I sat here and thought about it, there are plenty. Oh, Peppermint. Are you familiar with Peppermint, the drag queen? She's a she was a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. I can't remember exactly what season she was on, but she's another Black trans woman. She's been very active in the trans community. So she's been very active in the trans community for a long time. Not calling her old or anything. She's well seasoned. Okay.
All right.
Yes. But yes, off the top of my head, those are the first three that come to mind. But like I said, there's endless amounts of Black trans women specifically that I look up to. And that I, you know, check out any sort of work they put out, read their books, do anything like that. But yes, I'm very inspired by the Black trans community as a whole as well, just for like, just the resilience of it all. It's like, girl, because I had a conversation with another one of my friends at work the other day. And we were talking about like, if you're Black, any other identity that you have on top of that just makes it's like exponentially more difficult to just survive, you know, sometimes for certain people in certain, you know, areas. And then, you know, it's just really rough out here sometimes. It's just really nice to see that, like, despite it all, girl, I'm still here. Hello.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it helps definitely in the sad times to think of that.
So in the spirit of resilience and also the sad times and, you know, kind of like the girls blowing the doors open, we kind of have seen this like pushback against specifically transgender folks in this horrible country that we live in. So like over the past year or so, maybe past 2 years, we've seen a lot of anti-trans legislation being introduced, blocking access to things like gender affirming healthcare for trans folks and trans youth. If somebody is listening to this, and I doubt that they would be, but just in case, and is thinking like, well, what's the point of gender affirming hormone therapy? Like, why should I fight this hard against this anti-trans legislation that's being introduced? Can you kind of contextualize the importance from your own perspective?
Okay, so specifically with hormone therapy, the only people who say, you know, those kinds of things, like, why is it so important, are clearly people who've never experienced gender dysphoria. Allow me to explain my perspective on gender dysphoria. If you're born, if you are a transgender person, a lot of us, we have like I'll explain the like a brief version of the process. So that I feel like a lot of us go through is like, once you become aware of puberty, you kind of are in denial about it, that you are going to go through, if you're transgender, if you're trans femme, that you would go through male puberty. If you're trans mass, that you would go through female puberty. And then once it starts, it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a, like the clock starts, you know what I mean? Where you either transition or, you know, you kind of self-destruct at that point, because it's so crippling to live with gender dysphoria. Like I just don't think that, like a lot of people obviously don't experience it. So it's difficult to explain it to those people, but like gender dysphoria makes it near impossible to live, you know, a happy life. You know what I mean? And of course it comes in varying degrees for different people, but at the end of the day, it's still there. So, and that's not to say that gender dysphoria is a prerequisite to be transgender. I'm just saying for those who do experience, the dysphoria, it is prohibitive in living a happy life. So it's very important that people who do experience, dysphoria and would like to, like help alleviate that dysphoria with the use of hormone therapy, they should have access to that, because it is literally a debilitating thing for many transgender people to deal with gender dysphoria. And then on top of that, you have a lot of people in the world telling you that this thing that you know you're feeling isn't real and that you just need to get over it, or, you know, whatever things that they say. It's like, okay, so you see a person suffering and you either refuse to acknowledge it or just don't care. You know, for people who want to fight back against people getting the healthcare that they need, you wouldn't tell, like, I don't want to compare it to cancer, but you wouldn't tell somebody with like a broken arm to get over it. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's not even like a broken arm, because it's not a physical injury. Dysphoria is not a physical injury. It's just, it affects your perspective. It affects your, just your day-to-day life. It affects your personal hygiene even. It affects your ability to connect with people socially. It's just, it's so crippling, and so like detrimental in any effort to live, you know, a fulfilling life. So definitely we should make sure that everyone who needs access to hormone therapy can get that access, because, you know, it's vital.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Mm-hmm. Extremely well said. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any advice that you would give to other trans femmes looking to start, maybe thinking, you know, about starting mm-hmm. gender affirming hormone therapy and on the cusp of?
Yes. So I would say that for me, the most important thing in my transition has been the people around me. I know that that's a privileged thing to say, because not every trans person has, you know, a supportive network, but, if possible, and if you feel like it's safe, definitely talk to people about it and, like, you know, let people know what you're thinking. So that way you can, like, and people you trust and people that I wouldn't say that, you know, will support you, because I'm not gonna say you never know, because some people you do know. Definitely, if you can find those people, definitely talk to them first. Because, like, I think a lot of what makes the transition more difficult is when you get negative, like, only negative feedback from people that you think, that you thought would help you. You know what I mean? So definitely make sure you're around people who support you, and make sure you have people to discuss these things with, because a lot of, like, the unhealthy coping mechanisms as far as the dysphoria, or just, like, you know, whether you're in denial or anything about that, it's just like it's isolating, and you're just sitting by yourself, and you're just bouncing thoughts around in your head, and you're, you know, second guessing yourself and doing all that. And it's like, if you have someone to bounce your thoughts, if you have worries about it or anything like that, or fears about it, someone you can talk to. So definitely just, like, talk to people you trust about what you're thinking. Don't just, like, go through it alone, because, you know, it's a very difficult journey. Also, make sure you do your research. Like I said, the WPATH should be, I think I said this earlier, the WPATH is updating in December of this year. So it'll be version 8. And that's their standards of care for transgender people. So make sure you know, like, the medications, at least like the most widely used ones. Make sure you know about that. If you have any sort of, I think there are contraindications, anything that you know that certain medications would exacerbate or make worse in any way, definitely make sure you know that, you know, and talk to your doctor and just, it's just a lot of communication. Really, that's what I would say. Just be ready to talk to people if you're going to be, if you're going to transition. And again, I know that that's not safe for everyone because certain people, like some people live in very, you know, conservative areas where you just, there isn't really anybody you can talk to. But there are people, if you have access to a phone, I'm sure there are, I know there are hotlines for transgender youth. I'm not sure exactly what it's called though, but I know there are some. So there are resources and there are people you can talk to that, you know, at least so you won't feel alone, you know, for it's especially bad for people who live in those conservative areas. But if you live in a place where, you know, there's like a LGBTQ center or, you know, if you're at school, if you're young, if you have like a gay straight alliance in your school, if you're in college, sometimes depending on what school you go to, what area you're in, there's, you know, places that you can go for queer people to go and discuss issues or even get therapy sometimes. So just, you know, do your research, look around, see if there's any, communities you can connect to. And then also there's like the whole internet. So like that Reddit, which, their mods are pretty, in the past, they've been pretty aggressive with, keeping out people who are there for the wrong reason. So I'd say that that's definitely, if nowhere else, get there and start there if you can, you know, if you can't find anyone in your life that can, you can talk to, definitely start there. The internet is a great place. Has been a great place for trans people, you know, in our spaces. I mean, once you leave those spaces, it's very Wild West, but, yeah, that's what I would say. Just do your research, be ready to talk to people.
In terms of those hotlines, they are the LGBT National Hotline. There's the Trans Lifeline and there is the Trevor Project. Mm-hmm. Just so if you're listening, you can do the Googles, but Sam will put those in the show notes.
Yes, I will. And Amber, thank you so much for that robust set of advice and resources for the young ones out there. And anybody else, honestly. There we go. There we go. Amber said, I believe children are the future. Okay, Whitney.
Period.
Amber, also, thank you so much for this wonderful interview. Thank you for pitching your story to us. I've really enjoyed hearing about your journey and wish you the best on your journey. If people are interested in following you on the internet, are you interested in letting the people keep up with you? And if so, where?
Sure. I say my most active platform is Instagram. It's been pretty, not dead, because this is never dead over here, okay? But period, we won't be alive. Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Golden Amber. That's G-O-L. DENAMBRE, period. And let's see, I'll be starting a YouTube channel soon. I will name it, you know, Amber Dore, AMBRE DORE with an accent. Thank you. And that's basically it, just the Instagram and the YouTube.
Dope. Can't wait to watch your YouTube.
Yes, yeah, I'll be doing a 3-month update next month. I'm so excited.
Congratulations. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting
me. Definitely. I would love to touch base with you a year from now and see what else you could add.
Yes. Yes. To this thing, period. I might put on an actual outfit. Even though this is cute. Don't you think this is cute though? It's a moment.
Yes.
It's a moment.
It definitely is. It definitely is. So if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and let everyone you know that you love these hoes who make these shows. We appreciate all of you.
Yes, and if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. Remember that you can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising Community, that is C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. You can also go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe. You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl, on all the social media streets.
You can also go to innerhalluprising.com to buy merchandise. You can follow me at Slamrid on Instagram and Twitter. And remember, you can follow our guest today, Amber, at Golden, A-M-B-R-E, on Instagram, all of which will be in the show notes. Reminder, to get 10% off your first month, you can go to betterhelp.com/IHU. And to get 15% off of Dame products, you can go to dameproducts.com/IHU. Have a lovely motherfucking week, because you deserve to.
Bye. Bye.